Numbers, back into Numbers tonight in chapter number 14. Brother Billy preached this morning from chapter 23, amen. I was, when he said Numbers, I was wondering where he was going. But praise God, he didn't get to where I was going. We've been preaching on living in victory. And I tell you what, God's people are people who need to be living in victory, amen. And I tell you what, we've been encouraged. God has encouraged my heart in the fact of living in victory. How we started out preaching and how to know victory and how to obtain victory. It's the power of God, the praise of God, and the presence of God. And if we get that things right in our life, then we can live in the power of victory. And we can live in victory and live victorious lives. And our lives will be a reflection of what victory does to the believer. It makes us leaders. It shows us faithful. It shows us a people of action. We don't just sit back. We're willing to step out and to do something in faith because of the victory. On Wednesday night, we preached on victory through grace. And praise God, I'm glad we got victory through grace in our Lord and Savior. We got grace that gives us victory over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Because of the grace of God, we're redeemed by the blood and placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We have grace that gives us victory over our circumstances and helps us to get beyond those little things that we can let so easily beset us if we allow them to become mountains when they're nothing more than molehills. Amen. And we have grace that brings us past our circumstances. And most importantly, we have victory through grace over self. Amen. My greatest battles and my greatest conflicts are with myself. Amen. They're not with other people. But I want to preach to you tonight on another frame and another thought tonight. Living in victory is living as people of vision, living and looking forward to what God has got for us. In Numbers chapter 14, let's stand tonight, give you a chance to rest your legs move around just a little bit before we preach tonight. In chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Christian lives are falling into shambles. Churches are falling to pieces. People are just going every which way trying to find a purpose and trying to find a remedy, trying to find a means and find a way past all the problems that they're having. But the problem is they have lost their vision. Amen. They are no longer looking in the right place and in the right way. People of vision, they can look and they can see beyond the circumstances. People of vision, they can look and they can see beyond the obstacles that are before them. People of vision are those people who don't let things keep them back, because they know that if they persevere, they know that if they keep pressing forward, they're going to have victory when it's all said and done. Thomas Edison failed thousands of times in the things that he done. He was one of the greatest inventors our nation has ever known, and he failed thousands and thousands and thousands of times in the things that he tried to do, but he had a vision for what could be accomplished. He had a vision for what could be done, and he persevered. And because he persevered, we have the telephone, we have the phonograph, we have electric lights, we have an electric grid system that was initiated and started because a man had a vision, and he didn't let the failures, he didn't let the circumstances, he didn't let the problems that he faced keep him from going forward. Amen. We see the children of Israel, and they're standing in the wilderness looking into the promised land. God instructed them to send some people to go check out what he had already promised unto them. And they chose out one man from each tribe, and they sent them into the land of Canaan to spy out the land and to see what was going on. And they brought back of the bounty of the land. And they brought back a report of what they saw there. And they got fearful because of things that seemed to them to be out of their control. Of things that seemed to them to be beyond their circumstances. Now, I want you to understand something. These are the same people who cried unto God, and God heard their cry in the midst of their oppression in the land of Egypt. And God performed the miracles and wonders before Pharaoh and before the Egyptians that caused the Egyptians to let God's people go as God had instructed him to do. And God brought them out with a high hand and an outstretched arm, amen, and brought them, and he started preparing them to go into the land of Canaan. And on their way out, the Egyptians pursued after them, and they seen God part the mighty Red Sea and allow them to go across on dry land and destroy the entire army of the king of Egypt. These are the same people that we're dealing with here right now. And he sent them to go and spy out the land. He's fed them in a wilderness place. He's brought water for them out of the rock. He's took the bitter waters and he's made them sweet. Every trial and every obstacle that they came upon, God had made a way for them to overcome the trial and to overcome the obstacle. And now God says it's time to get things ready to move on in to the promised land. And they go and they see some things there. They brought back a cluster of grapes. The Bible says that had to be borne by two men on a pole between them. It was that large and it was that bountiful. They brought back the report of the cities that were great and high and fenced. And they brought back a report that there were giants in the land. And there were giants that would have to be overcome. And the the people began to be fearful because of these things, and they had forgot what God had already done. Amen. But folks, there were a couple that went with them. There were a couple that seen everything that the rest of them had seen. And they looked forward with vision to what God was going to do when everybody else was looking backward. When everybody else wanted to turn around and go the other way, they were looking forward. I want to preach to you on a few points here tonight as we read in the passage that we read. Now the people, they've got all upset. They want to make them a new leader, and they don't want to choose God's leader. You know, a lot of times that's what happens in our churches. Amen? People decide who they want instead of who God wants. Amen? As their pastor, they decide who they want instead of who God wants as leadership positions in their church. When we stop following God's leadership, number one, it's the first place where we get into trouble. That's the first place where we find problems. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we need to be attuned to what God is doing. And God has chosen Moses as their leader, and they're saying, well, let's make us a new captain, and let's go back, and let's turn around, and go back to where we came from. Visionaries are those who don't look back. They keep looking forward. I want you to know something. I was a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner deserving to be in hell, but praise God, one day he saved me, and I don't want to go back to that. I find myself slipping back like an old backsliding heifer sometimes, as the Lord put it in his word. But praise God, when he begins to stir my heartstrings, I want to get things right, and I want to quit going back, and I want to keep going forward. Amen. When you see a church starting to fade away and a church starting to go back, it's time for them to get their vision in the right place and start looking forward and looking to the right one that's going to bring them into the promised land. Amen. You know, we started this because we were looking at our church and we see it dwindling. We see our young people slipping away. We see our numbers drop of people who were faithful. And we can blame everything under the sun, but we can't blame nobody but ourselves. Amen. Amen. We get kind of like the children of Israel. You know, life isn't always on the mountain. Church isn't always on the mountain. Amen. And sometimes when every service isn't stirring, when every service isn't as entertaining as what we think it should be, we get discouraged and we start saying, well, what's the use? I'm not going back. I'm going to go on back down to Egypt. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you what's in Egypt. Let me tell you what Egypt represents and what Egypt held for them if they went back to Egypt. Egypt represented and Egypt held for them bondage. Amen. They were going to be put back in bondage. They were going to be back in the same place where they was when they left. Back doing to what they were doing when they cried out to God and asked for deliverance. Amen. Quit looking back and quit wanting to put yourself back in bondage when things aren't going the way that you think they should. Just because you can't see the trees for the forest don't mean God doesn't have something waiting for you there. Amen. You know, there's some people, and I don't care what you do, there's always some reason why they can't come to church. There's always some reason why they don't go no more. Well, it was brother so-and-so, or it was sister so-and-so. It was this one did that, and this one did that. It's the preacher, Brother Steve sings that song. They preach too long, they don't preach long enough. They preach too loud. They preach too quiet. They're too proud. They're too humble. They're too this and they're too that. You see, the problem isn't with the church. The problem is with the individuals that are looking at the church and coming up with all these answers. You know, the biggest reason, I got hurt. Well, what was you looking at? Amen. Sure, when you deal with people, Amen. You're going to get hurt. Amen. You go ask my wife, and she can tell you that life hasn't always been roses. Amen. Living with me. And I can tell you life hasn't always been roses living with her. We have our difficulties. We have our problems. But I haven't quit loving her. I haven't quit caring for her. She hasn't quit loving for me. We love each other enough that we can get past the difficulties. But it amazes me how God's people get hurt in church. And they quit loving everybody. They quit hating everybody. They get out of the house of God and they don't want to go back anymore. Amen. They wasn't looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They were looking at people. Amen. They were looking at people. They were looking at individuals. We're all flawed. There's none of us perfect. Only one other human outside of Jesus ever walked on the water. And when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Amen. We got to quit looking back. And we got to quit looking at the wrong things. They looked and they seen the walled cities and they seen the giants and they forgot to see that God had destroyed a whole army. They forgot to see that God had parted a great sea so that they can come across in safety. They forgot to see that God had fed them and God had provided for them and God had met every need that they ever had. They forgot to see that and forgot to realize that he would do it on the other side. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, visionaries are the ones that keep looking forward. They keep seeing what God, you know, we don't always see what God sees. God lets us see what we need to see. I got guys that work for me, and let me tell you this. I don't tell them everything. And Brother Steve can tell you, if you let that bunch we got know everything, they'll find something to whine about before it ever gets there. Amen. I keep them on a need-to-know basis. Amen. I let them know what they need to know to get their job done at the moment. And you know, that's the way God does us. Amen. He's given us some vision to give us some insight in what the end results are. But sometimes we just got to trust him. We got to walk by faith. Not by sight. We got to believe that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, no matter where we are and what we're doing. Amen. Amen. We got to quit looking here's another obstacle in front of me, and I just don't know if we're going to make it through. Well, no, I'm not going to make it through, but God's going to bring me through. Amen. Amen. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. He knew he was going through because he wasn't dependent on himself to get him through, because he was dependent on the Lord to walk through that valley with him. Amen. We need to quit looking back. We need to quit looking at the wrong thing. And we need to quit looking as if we're already defeated. I tell you what. Some folks say, well, you know, there's a great falling away. The Bible says in the last days there'd be a great falling away. Well, hallelujah. The Bible's right. The Bible's true. But it didn't say it was going to be today. Amen. Amen. It didn't say it was going to be yesterday or tomorrow. It just said in the last day. Amen. And I tell you what, there is a great falling away, but nowhere in that word, nowhere in that Bible did it say for us to quit doing what God has called us to do. Nowhere did it say for us to quit pressing forward and to quit looking forward and to quit depending on him for the deliverance and the victories that we're going to have in this life. He told us to persevere and to keep going. Amen. Amen. We don't always see the whole picture. But praise God, we see what we need to see. And every one of us, we can look out the windows of this church. We can look out the windows of our home. We can look out the windows of our automobiles riding up and down the road. And we can see souls dying and going to hell. And you know what? Right now, maybe that's all we need to see. Maybe right now, that's all we need to know. And maybe if we do what God is telling us to do, And maybe if we get busy doing what the Great Commission has commissioned us to do, and maybe if we depend on God to save souls, and we depend on God to change lives, and we depend on God to make a difference, He will. Amen. He will. Not only do victors live in victory looking forward and looking ahead, but praise God, they live with a passion about what they believe. You know what's wrong with most churches today? They've lost the passion. They've lost the power. They've lost the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look down in verse number 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Let's not get sidetracked here. Let's not forget this is what God has promised us here. And if God has promised it to us, I know that God will deliver it to us. Amen. If God said He will, He can. If God said He would, He will. Amen. And that's all we need to know. And we need to depend on God. Praise God. Abraham heard the call of God, and he had a passion to follow God. And he left everything that he'd known. He left everything that he had. And he moved out of Ur, the Chaldees, and went into a place that he'd never been before, possibly had never even heard of before, because that's where God had told him to go. Amen. David had a passion to follow God wherever God would lead him. Amen. And when God led him into that valley, praise God, to stand before that giant, he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whom you've defiled. And God is going to deliver your head into my hands, and he'll deliver the flesh of the armies of the Philistine to the fowls of the air and the animals of the field. And praise God, he's going to give victory. Amen. Praise God. Daniel had a passion for what God had said to do, for God's word, and he wouldn't defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He wouldn't quit praying to God no matter what man decreed. And you know, Massachusetts is getting ready to pass a law, and it will be, I think it comes in effect in October, if I ain't mistaken. It would make it illegal for us as a church to preach against some of the sins that are in the Bible. It would make it illegal for us as a church to prevent someone from joining our church whose lifestyle or whose actions were contrary to the Word of God. Canada has had this law for years. And there are preachers in prison in Canada right now for preaching this truth. And Massachusetts, I think it's the 1st of October, law goes into effect, if I'm not mistaken. You can look it up. You can Google it and it'll tell you all about it. You know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Amen. Amen. But you can Google it and find out. Oppressive laws. But Daniel had a passion for the word of God over the laws of man. Amen. And Daniel chose to obey God rather than to obey man. Stephen had a passion for preaching the truth to a religious crowd that didn't want to hear the truth. And though they stoned him, and though they gnawed upon his flesh, the Bible says they gnawed upon him as they stoned him. Praise God, he stood fast. He stood firm until the very last. He preached righteousness. He preached the word unto them, even though they didn't want to hear it. Praise God, he had a passion for what God had placed in his heart. The Apostle Paul had a passion, amen, to serve God in 2 Corinthians chapter, chapter number 11. The Apostle Paul recounts the things that he had been through, the beatings and the stonings and the scourgings. And I tell you what, three times he had been scourged. It's not, we don't count this out too much, but three times he received 39 lashes. Three separate occasions. Three times, three separate occasions, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He said, "The night and the day have I been in the deep. How long can you tread water?" Amen. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Some of us, we tread water for a few minutes and we just give up and we drown. Amen. We quit. We give up. Paul said, "A night and a day have I been in the deep." He said, "I've been hunted like an animal. The cares of all the church." He said, "But I never gave up. I never gave in." Why? Because he had a passion for what God had sent him to do. God had sent him to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. And he preached the gospel, whether it caused a peril to his own life, his own well-being, his own sensibilities. Praise God. He trusted God. He depended on God. And he was adamant about doing what God wanted him to do more than anything else in this world. In his last words that we have recorded in 2 Timothy, said, "I finished my race." Amen. I'm done. He said, "The day of my departure is at hand." He didn't say, and I emphasize this every time, but I think it's so important. He didn't say, "Well, the day of my execution is getting close." He said, "The day of my departure is at hand." It is to say that the day of my death is near. He said, "The day of my departure is at hand." He didn't cry about his situation. I think he was looking forward and anticipating it, because he told the Philippians, he said, "I would much rather go and go on to heaven and be with the Lord, but it's needful for you for me to be here." Amen. He told us, Corinthians, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." He already knew, and he already had a hope, and he already had a confidence and a consolation that everything was all right in Jesus. When people tell me they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in all this religion, I ask them sometimes, I said, "Well, if that be true, why do you think people would have given up everything they had and would give their very lives for this? Why do you think the Apostle Paul went on and did what he would do if there wasn't a God? Why would he surrender his life and to the last breath preach the same gospel and the same message? Why would all of the disciples who walked with Jesus and talked with him, why would every one of them suffer the same fate and the same death they had suffered in different ways, but they all died for the cause of Christ? And all they had to do was go back to the fishing. Nobody would have known any difference. All they had to do was go back a doing what everybody else was doing, and no one would have been the wiser. But yet they laid down their lives. Why do you suppose that is? Were they just crazy? I don't think so. I think once they had a taste of what the Lord had to offer, nothing that this world could afford them held anything to them any longer. They had a passion for what God had called them to do. But yet we got a church that lives in defeat because we don't have a passion for fulfilling the gospel commission that Christ has given unto us. And we're afraid of what people might say. We're afraid of what people might think. We're afraid of what people might do. Friend, I want to tell you something. If you want to live in victory, praise God, get a passion for the gospel and do what it is that God has called you to do with everything that is within you. And you'll know victory if you're sitting in an old jail at midnight praying and singing psalms like Paul and Silas were. Hey man, you'll know victory if you're in the midst of the storm and you look at those around you and says, sirs, be of good cheer. The Lord of whom I am stood by me this night and told me there'd be no loss of life but of the ship and the goods only. Hey man, you'll have peace. You'll have confidence. You'll have assurance. But you got to have a passion to have victory, a passion to persevere, a passion to keep on going, irregardless of what's going on around you. And you have to put your dependence upon God. Look at verses 8 and 9. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defenses is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Depend on God and his desire for them. Look at what he said. If the Lord delight in us. You know what? If the Lord didn't care about his church, he wouldn't have redeemed us out of the world. Amen. If the Lord didn't care about his church, he wouldn't have said, I'm going to send the comforter that'll teach you, that'll instruct you, that'll be there with you, that'll give you assurance and it'll give you confidence. If the Lord didn't care, if the Lord didn't delight in us, amen, he wouldn't forgive us when we stumble and fall and we fail him. If the Lord didn't delight in us, praise God, he would just say, just go on. Just go on. But I'm glad he delights in us. And when we say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? He'll give you a job. And when you say, Lord, the job is too difficult for me, he'll come alongside you and say, put my yoke upon. Amen. When the job goes on and it's longer and you grow weary, he said, don't worry. He said, I'll give you strength. Amen. He said, if the Lord delight in us, but we got to fear God more than we fear what's in this world. Verse 9, he says, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Hey man, it's hard to buck. Hey man. It's hard to buck and it's hard to rebel when we got our passion set upon doing what God has us to do. When we got our sight placed where it needs to be and we got the Lord leading us and guiding us. It's hard to buck and it's hard to rebel when you're sold out to Jesus and he is your all in all. Praise God. And we got to get that way. You know what? Sometimes we got to just sit down and just examine ourselves and reevaluate our lives and say, am I doing your will or am I doing my will? Amen. That's the problem with me and probably the problem with most of you. Amen. We don't sit down and say, Lord, what is it that you want? Am I doing what you want or am I doing what I want? Am I doing what you desire for me to do or am I doing what I want to do? Lord, because I don't understand this, I don't want to do this. That's our attitude. Lord, because I can't see what you see, I don't want to look over that way. That's our frame of mind. Lord, I don't care. That's our passion. Fear God more than the circumstances. Fear God more than the situation. Fear God more than the unknown that lies before you. Amen. Listen to what he said. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. Let me tell you what. They might have some cities that have great walls. They might have some warriors who are of the descendants of Anak, the giant. They may have some things that we have never seen before. But praise God, I got Jesus. Amen. I got Jesus. And as long as I got Jesus, I got more than anything they have. Amen. As long as I got Jesus, I got more power than anything that hell can unleash against me. As long as I got Jesus, I've got victory regardless of my circumstance, regardless of my situation, regardless of what I see. As long as I got Jesus, I got everything that I need.
Amen.
Amen. If God delight in us, He can help us. If God delight in us, He'll give us victory. If God delight in us, He'll help us to find what we need. When everybody else says, oh my, oh me, oh what shall we do? The people of God ought to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. He's the answer. That's what Caleb and Joshua were trying to show the people. We have the answer. We know what the problems are, but we have the answer. Amen. We know what the problems are. We've got the vision. We know what the problems are. Do we have a passion to fulfill it and to carry it out? We know what the problems are. We know what the situation is. But praise God, it isn't as grave as everybody thinks it is, because Jesus is still on the throne. What's your circumstances tonight? What's keeping you from having victory tonight? You willing to give it to Jesus? We stand on our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one...